Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. On the eve of the Civil War, a Southern scientist came north to found a new kind of polytechnic school, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. It started in the Back Bay, and most people called it Boston Tech.
William Barton Rogers was interested in founding a university that would accelerate the Industrial Revolution in America.
Well, now MIT is on the other side of the river, and that woman, MIT President Susan Hockfield, is helping to fulfill William Barton Rogers' objective in ways he couldn't have possibly imagined. Hockfield appeared on WBUR's On Point yesterday on the occasion of MIT's 150th anniversary. And this weekend, the MIT Museum opens up a new exhibit of 150 objects that track the course of innovation across the Institute's history. WBUR.org's Andrew Phelps got a preview yesterday. Hey there, Andrew.
Hey, Meghna. I love my job. If you are a geek, you will geek out at this exhibit.
Okay, so help us geek out here. What kind of things did you see at the museum?
Geeky. Okay, a working model of the first wheelchair that can climb stairs is one of them. The sorry victim of last year's annual piano drop. An outer space control system simulator, which, I mean, it just sounds... Anyway, a race car standing on its head, which was really cool, full size. And a special jacket designed for Boston Pops conductor Keith Lockhart, which recorded his movements, his heartbeat, his muscle tension, and then displayed all that data in graphical form in a screen for the audience to watch in real time.
I have to say, Andrew, in seeing you describe these things, your pencil-necked geekiness is getting even more pencil-y.
I wish I were wearing my white button-down shirt today, but alas.
But your pocket protector does work.
Yes, thank you, thank you. I talked with John Durant, president of the MIT Museum, about how these objects were selected.
We decided to engage the whole MIT community in a kind of collective intelligence exercise, and we asked people to suggest items, artifacts, that they thought should come into this exhibition, with a view in the end to selecting 150 of them, which in combination would somehow catch that magical stardust, which is MIT.
Collective intelligence exercise. Even the head of the museum at MIT talks like a
geek. So MIT, isn't it?
I love that. But what were your favorite objects?
Well, there were a lot of cool things there, some of them with global significance, some of them ridiculous. They actually had the first real-time computer powered by vacuum tubes. And it's part of an exhibit that sort of shows the evolution of information technology, which, of course, is closely associated with MIT.
Was that one computer just one entire room on its own?
It was pretty giant, and it was actually kind of beautiful to see all of those warm, glowing vacuum tubes.
And you, of course, were shooting video on your, what, on your iPhone at the time?
Yes, on my transistor-powered iPhone. The exhibit starts, though, with a huge slide rule on the wall, and Durant explained to me that there was a time you could hear hundreds of slide rules being used at the same time by students. Slide rules, of course, being the precursor to the calculator. When the calculator came, the slide rule disappeared overnight. Almost every model of calculator since the original was on display. A computer called the Whirlwind, one of the most famous computers, put together in the late 40s, early 50s.
So the museum definitely does a great job at showing how developments from MIT had transformed the world, mm-hmm. but they've done a lot of research that has had an impact right here in Boston.
Absolutely. The John Hancock Tower, developed by I.M. Pei in the 1970s, was, of course, this shining example of urban architecture when it was built, and then all of the windows started falling out. A lot of folks who were living here at the time remember that. They were confounded by these architectural problems. So some folks at MIT built a model of the skyline of Boston. It's pretty cool. And put it in a wind tunnel, subjected it to all kinds of vibration and oscillation to determine when the windows would fail. There were all sorts of myths about what caused these windows to fall out. You know, the angles of the building were too sharp, or the building was swaying because of a poor foundation. Turned out it was the windows themselves, and they came up with a dual-paned, thicker kind of glass to use in the windows that were coated with sort of a reflective surface to buff it against the wind, which ended up being what made the building reflective, which is a feature that we all love about the Hancock.
Wow. And so Copley Square no longer being a trip where you take your life into your own hands, crossing
right,
your That's Square.
Right.
But Andrew, it's the model that they put in the wind tunnel that's at the exhibit.
That's right. Okay. It's on display.
Well, and speaking of architectural features of the greater Boston area, there's another one that connects MIT to Boston that features somehow in this exhibit, I understand?
Yes. The beloved SMOOT is the fictitious unit of measurement that MIT students designed to measure the length of the unfortunately named Harvard Bridge, just outside MIT. Oliver Smoot himself was the shortest pledge in the Lambda Chi Alpha fraternity in 1958. He was 5'7", so they invented the Smoot stick, which was his height, 5'7", which is on display at the museum. And I'm not 100% sure, but legend and good reporting has it that Smoot himself was laid down on the ground over and over again on the sidewalk of the Harvard Bridge to measure its length, and now is immortalized in the museum.
And when you walk across the bridge, you actually see the Smoots marked
out.
You
can see the Smoot markings.
For those who are dying to know, and I am one of them, how many Smoots long is the Harvard Bridge?
364.4 Smoots plus one ear.
Well, if you are south of Cambridge, you can traverse those 364.4 Smoots and one ear north to see this exhibit, which is called
MIT 150, and it opens to the general public tomorrow, Saturday.
Well, listeners, Andrew also put together a video showing off some of the weird and world-changing innovation at MIT featured at the exhibit. Check it out at our website, wbur.org/Boston. Andrew, thanks so much.
Thanks, Meghna.